Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Macca. We just had a very powerful segment with Adrian Farah, Trinity Grammar Principal. But now we're doing a change of pace. We're joined in the studio by Travis Jordan, Community Policy Advocate. We're going to be speaking about the renting and housing crisis. Welcome to the studio.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're very happy to have you in the studio. Now, this is very much a top of news item, and it's something that not only people are reading about, but they're experiencing, they're feeling, and it is a critical point in public policy. But before we jump in, Travis, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your housing journey?
Yeah, absolutely. Like a lot of people my age, since I moved out of home at 18, I've shuffled between countless share houses. I think it's about 20 now.
Wow.
Rarely being allowed to stay for more than a year or two at a time before being evicted because the owner wants to move back in, or they're selling, or I'm being priced out, or I have to move for work. I've done my time homeless too. I've couch surfed or lived out of my car. Now I'm in my 30s in a professional job with good pay, and I'm still stuck renting in a drafty old share house. And the only hope I have any sort of long-term housing security is maybe inheriting enough from my parents pass away to cover a deposit. This is a pretty familiar story for a lot of your listeners, and it won't come as a surprise to any of them that housing in this country is deeply broken, and it's breaking for more and more people, as people in expensive rentals end up stuck in a trap, unable to move out on their own or saving up for a deposit for their first home. And for the few people unlucky enough to buy, they're facing unfixable structural defects all through their buildings while their fixed rate mortgages suddenly become cripplingly expensive variable rate ones. It's even more stark for LGBTIQA plus people. The Rental and Housing Union here in Victoria recently compiled a report called Praise in Housing Solidarity that showed that LGBTIQA plus people are more likely to be homeless, more likely to be long-term homeless, more likely to be discriminated against in rental applications, and less than half as likely to own their own home than a cis straight person by the time they retire. Things are pretty bad.
That is stark. It's shocking, but I don't think it's at all surprising. And so what is the lay of the land in Victoria at the moment? We understand that getting into a rental is difficult, staying in a rental is difficult, but why is that?
Housing is broken, and even though we know all the reasons why and all the different solutions that might help, nothing ever happens, right? And that's because politicians and policymakers fear landlords and the real estate lobby more than they fear young people who are locked out from secure housing. Now, in Victoria, we have a situation where rents are going up, you know, on average 12% a year, far higher than the CPI, and they're expected to go up 12% again this year.
So that's 24% in 1 year in a cost of living crisis, in a housing crisis, in a post-current COVID crisis. What levers are available to policymakers at the moment to try and remedy that?
There are so many levers available that we're not using. But there's no silver bullet, and never listen to anyone who tries to claim that they have one magic solution to the housing crisis. At the end of the day, we need to pull every policy lever that we have, and we need some of the smartest people in our country thinking up all new levers to install, and we need to pull them too. We also can't afford to be precious, holding out for the perfect solution that isn't coming. It's too late for that. We need greater investment in public housing, in social housing, in community and cooperative housing, in private housing, in replacing old broken homes with new energy-efficient homes. We need taller buildings and denser suburbs. We need to close tax loopholes. And we needed all of that 20 years ago.
So what are some quick stats that really speak to just the enormity of this crisis at the moment? Because if you are in a, you know, if you own your own home or you're not in that share house environment, it can feel a little bit unfamiliar, and that crisis can seem like it's at arm's length when in fact it's the living experience that people are struggling with, that most people are struggling with on a daily basis.
Yeah. Your listeners may have seen an article in the ABC last week. They reported that nearly 50% of mortgage households and over 60% of renting households are now in housing stress. What housing stress is, it's a pretty standard measure for housing unaffordability. It means you're spending more than a third of your pre-tax income or nearly half of your post-tax income on housing costs. That's huge.
And so, to remedy this, the Victorian government has set up a housing affordability inquiry, and that was put forward by the Greens and is now a bipartisan committee that will be investigating it. Can you tell us a little bit about the inquiry, what the terms of reference are, and how people can make their voice heard in it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the inquiry is incredibly broad, and a lot of organisations, like some of the ones I work with, are scrambling to write submissions to cover the breadth of the scope. The committee is looking at all challenges facing Victorian renters and the factors that cause the rental and housing affordability crisis. This includes low availability of rentals or public or social housing, low vacancy rates, high costs, insecurity, energy efficiency and building standards, conditions, repairs, maintenance, ventilation, enforcement of rental regulations, impact of Airbnb, everything that drives the cost of housing up and the quality of your life down. We just aren't building enough homes, and I think we need to make our voice heard that we're all suffering and we can't move out of the poor situations we're all stuck in our rentals or in our poor buildings until we get more houses built and until we get our standards of housing up, until the conditions that we face as renters mean that we're not at the whims of landlords, which is why we're asking everyone to make their voice heard. So I hope everyone in the next couple of weeks just takes a few minutes of their time to make a submission at the inquiry at new.parliament.vic.gov.au/rental-and-housing-inquiry. You don't have to be an expert to make a submission. The committee wants to hear everyone's stories and lived experiences. Your submission can be as long or as short as you want, even if it's just a couple of sentences, that's more than enough. If you have some horror stories about black mold or a landlord from hell, if you or 50 strangers found yourself standing on the street in the rain for the privilege of inspecting another dingy potential share house, if you got slogged with a 30% rent increase on top of another 30% last year, write it up, send it in, and if you're still angry after that, don't just post about it. Get active, get organised, and join one of the groups fighting to make life better for everyone, like the Renters and Housing Union, Acorn Community Union Melbourne, the Sustainable Cities Collective, or Yes in My Backyard Melbourne.
That's a great path for action. One of the topics that's been spoken about recently when we're discussing housing unaffordability and the rental crisis is rent caps and rent freezes. We've seen differing opinions on this. We've seen staunch advocates calling for rent caps and rent freezes as one of the levers that needs to be pulled now. Conversely, we've seen Canberra politicians saying that this isn't the answer. Can you tell us a little bit about what a rent freeze is and provide a little bit more nuance in that discussion?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a controversial policy and it's a really complicated one. There's a lot of different moving bits that go into it, and there's a lot of different models that, you know, some work in some circumstances, some don't in others. A rent freeze is basically where for a short amount of time you say rents can't go up. We had one of those in the early stages of the pandemic, if you remember. A rent cap is a restriction on how much rent can be increased, whether that's at the end of a lease, when a lease moves over from a year to another year, or when you advertise a new rental up on the open market. Price controls are pretty uncommon in Australia generally, but as the pandemic experience shows, if we have a serious enough emergency, governments will consider applying them. Victoria obviously had one on rents and one on energy. A lot of vocal critics point to the American experience with rent controls as a reason not to do it. But in America, most rent controls are spot controls, individual homes, buildings, or neighborhoods that have different controls placed on them relative to their surrounding areas. This obviously has a distortionary effect, but in the US, that functions to fill a niche that public and social housing does here. Most Australian proponents, on the other hand, want to emulate what the European experience is, indexing rent increases for all residential tenancies, no matter where they are, typically against either the consumer or wage price index plus a certain percent, right? This is exactly the model the ACT has had since the mid-1990s, and it hasn't destroyed their housing market.
Another policy that gets that has been talked about recently is the vacancy tax to unlock supply. So a bit of context there, the 2021 census said that there were about a million homes vacant on census night. Is that a correct measure of how many homes are available, and what does it mean to have a vacancy tax?
Yeah, I would caution people not to rely too much on the census's take on vacancies. It's not a great measure for vacancy rates because the census just measures whether someone was home on a particular night. They might have been away on holidays or for work, or they may have been at a friend's place for dinner. Same goes for using census data for estimate homelessness. The census tends to underestimate homelessness because it has a tendency to miss certain kinds of invisible homelessness, like couch surfing. Penalties for long-term vacancies have their place, like a vacancy tax, especially where there's evidence of hoarded supply or artificial price inflation, which affects commercial tenancies way more than residential. But it's important not to overstate how many vacant properties there actually are available. There are a few, especially in regional tourist towns and in our inner city, thanks to the boom in Airbnb. But a vacancy tax is a blunt instrument and pretty hard to enforce because you're either relying on self-reporting, which no landlord would ever do, or on utility bills, which are unreliable and might penalise people who just are pretty thrifty with their water and energy.
Another policy area that the Victorian government is currently committed to is the big build and building a record number of social homes. Is that currently making a difference in our state, or is that a little bit of a too little, too late?
I think there's a few factors going on here. Obviously, they've been touting the big build for over 5 years now. But over that time, we've seen the social housing waiting list balloon out from 45,000 to 65,000, 20,000 new people who need social housing. But the big build has built less than 100 new social homes. We're barely adding to the amount of social homes in the state. And I think here as well, it's worth teasing out a bit of a subtlety that can go unnoticed, which is social housing isn't necessarily the same as public housing. And not all non-market housing, all of which are important, serve the same purpose. So social housing, or community housing as sometimes known, is housing that's owned and operated by non-for-profits or community groups or churches. They tend to be financed, at least in part, by governments. But as governments get more risk-averse and didn't want to directly manage properties anymore, they shifted that risk onto charities, and they started replacing public housing, which is government-owned housing, with social housing, and moving all that financial risk onto not-for-profits who don't have the capital to deal with problems when they come up. We're here in St Kilda, which is pretty close to Port Melbourne, and Port Melbourne is where the Barrack Beacon development is. It's where Home Victoria is investing quite a lot of resources in redeveloping a large site. It's right on the bay. And it's currently got about 90-odd public homes on there, so government-owned homes. And there's some tenants there still. It was only built in the mid-80s. It's not that old. And they want to develop the site, and they want to replace it with 90-something social homes and 200-something private homes. And it would be good to get some new development down there to build more energy-efficient homes. But that doesn't seem like a good trade-off to me, to be evicting people. These people got evicted notices on Christmas Day. It doesn't seem fair to replace these public homes with the same number of social homes and just build a couple of private homes to enrich a few developers. If we're going to be doing projects like this, we need to be increasing the overall stock of not market housing.
And just lastly, we're running out of time, Travis, but would love to know, for people who are facing rent increases and feel overwhelmed advocating for themselves, how can you go about either challenging that or just seeking to let your landlord know that you don't have the capacity to deal with what could be a 24% increase on your rental on top of the very large amount of rent that you're paying at the moment? Is help available?
Yeah, help is absolutely available. Tenants Victoria is a community legal centre, and they have fact sheets and guides to help you navigate our complex rental system. If you need more help, you can also reach out to your local council or to the Rentals and Housing Union, and they may have resources or can refer you to people who can help. But at the end of the day, our system is set up that expects you to self-help. You're expected to have the time, resources, and capacity to take your landlords and real estate agents to VCAT, which means upfront fees and a lot of time off work. So if you want the onus to be switched around, you need to make a submission by Friday the 7th of July to new.parliament.victorgov.au/rental-and-housing-inquiry.
That's a very good plug.
I wanted to ask a quick final question, Travis. I've spent a little bit of time in Singapore, and I think more than 90% of housing there is, I'll call it social housing, because the Singapore government, their sovereign wealth fund and people's superannuation, part of it, and, you know, so they build and they get a return on the investment with people's rents, which are pegged. They also, Singapore love doing this, they direct, you know, okay, so this percentage of the building is Malays, this will be Malay Chinese, this will be Indians, this will be other races and cultures. They've got an incredible system, and the quality of their social and public housing is remarkable. Is this an example of what we should follow in Australia?
Yeah, and the Singaporean system is a great system to emulate, as are a lot of the systems in continental Europe.
Yes.
Denmark, Sweden especially, have very similar schemes to Singapore. And they obviously have problems. There's trade-offs with any sort of system. But they had a concerted political effort and consensus with the community that the housing crisis needed to be fixed, and their solution was, well, we, the government, are going to make this a human right, and we're just going to build, and everyone's going to have a good home. And in my dream world, that's where we'd be. But I think we're probably quite a few years off that.
We are. Look, thanks, Travis. We are out of time. Thanks for your, you know, coming in today, and thanks for your work on this. It's really important. We are at a point where I think it's time for all governments to actually consider some different options. The fact that we have so much homelessness, we have so much unaffordable housing, we actually need to do something about it.
Absolutely.
We've got to do something about it. So what was the address again where people need to, if they want to send a submission?
Yeah, new.parliament.vic.gov.au/rental-and-housing-inquiry, or just Google Victorian Parliament Rental and Housing Inquiry.
There you go. Thank you so much. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Nevena. Coming up really soon, pop culture. Stay with us.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.